Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Foggy Bottom Pictures presents the Scary Octopus Records Halloween Hootenanny. Join us Saturday, September 28th at the Tally Ho Theater in Leesburg for a night of music and spooky hijinks. Enjoy performances from Sonny Ledford, the Pie Tasters, and Reverend Peyton's Big Damn Band, all in support of the good people at Mission 22. Don't miss the 12-inch Halloween Hootenanny official record release featuring new music from the Pie Tasters, Reverend Peyton, Sonny Ledford, and Ponytails and Cocktails. There will be giveaways, a silent auction, exclusive merchandise, and much more. VIP tickets have already sold out, so get your tickets now before it's too late at www.tallyhotheater.com.
Hello, friendos.
Toast name is Chad Dukes.
And I am burdened with glorious purpose.
It's the Chad Dukes Radio Show.
It's not free FM.
So give Chad a call. Here's the number.
385-645-5375.
It's Miller time.
What is that, Lil? 12 hands in a row? Dukes, you son of a bitch, nobody's that lucky.
Now here's your host, the Big Silly.
Chad Dukes.
Charlie Hotel.
Alpha.
Delta. Yeah, Dukes. Dig it.
There, but for the grace of God, do with me.
Where the nickel-sized hell and the damage in wins. We rode over New York, never let us back in. We blew out the lights, kicked the windows in. And when the law showed up, said they're gonna have to take us in. They're scared of my music.
All right. I wasn't going to do this, and I'm not even sure I'm going to post this. But just in case I do, let me go ahead and play by the rules. Welcome, everybody, to the Free Friday episode of the Chad Dukes Show. Hope you had a fantastic week. Hope if you're not subscribed to the Chad Dukes Show, you consider it. I really think we put together a strong week of shows. A lot of variety, a lot of different topics, a lot of different opinions. We did a Emergency Fortress Film Festival. Emergency Fortress Film Society, Fortress Facehugger Society, I believe we called it, for Alien Romulus. Lots of different opinions there. I know that you're just about subscription serviced out, but think of this as an apple pie that's been placed on the windowsill that's for sale, and how much different that would be than just buying an apple pie from the drive-thru at McDonald's. I'm not saying the quality of this is vastly superior to other subscription services. I am saying it's home fucking made. I'm not just going around buying rights and making hangover references. No, this is the way I earn a living, and I do appreciate it when people plunk down a credit card because it's easy to sit and take it, take it, take it. Lord knows I do a lot of taking, but I was going to take this week off from the Free Friday episode because I am traveling today. As you are listening to this, knock wood, I will be either in the air or landing or arrived in Indianapolis, Indiana, which is where I'm traveling. I am only scheduled to be there from Friday afternoon till Sunday, where I'll be getting up bright and early, flying back, and God willing, I'm seeing so many beautiful stories of success and comfort from our nation's airports over the past couple of few fucking weeks and months that I can only imagine the misery that awaits me. But I've got to do the most impossible thing for me to do, and that is not just losing weight. I'll make the jokes before you do, motherfuckers. I've got to put something ahead of my own comfort, which I really don't like doing, and I have a tendency to throw a hissy fit when I don't. But I got my fantasy draft on Sunday, so I'm going to try to beat feedback for it. But one of the things I wanted to talk about today, if this does go up, especially on the free feed. I feel more protected, of course, on the pay feed. There's so many fucking assholes that hate my guts that for some reason still follow what I do and say nasty, horrible things about me. And so, like, not that I don't deserve some of it. I don't deserve all of it. It's just opening up a piece of yourself to those motherfuckers that maybe you shouldn't, but whatever. I've talked a little bit about this on my show when it happened, but my mom's best friend, a lady named Joan, and Joan's super nice, super cool, much cooler than anybody in my family. And her husband was a guy named Bill. And my mom has been friends with Joan her whole life and was there when she met her husband, Bill. And I don't remember them separate. I remember being a very young boy, and we would, during the summer, most families would go to the beach, or Disney World or someplace like that. But my mom didn't like those things, so we didn't go to the beach. I think we went to Disney World once. I think we did. But most of the time we went where she wanted to go, not where we wanted to go. And that was the mountains. That was Kentucky. That was state parks. Some of it I look back on more fondly than I did at the moment, but some of it I was really pissed about because I never got to do all the shit that I heard all my friends doing at school. And maybe this sounds like a big old fucking bucket full of white privilege, and maybe it is, but it does suck when all the kids are like, oh shit, we got a beach house at Virginia Beach for the summer, or we went to Clearwater, or blah, blah, blah. It's like, that just wasn't going to happen because it just wasn't. So one of the things we did a lot of is we did a lot of visiting people. So we visited my grandparents a lot. They were not the friendliest people. They ended up, my grandfather in particular, ended up doing some really nice stuff for all of his grandkids. But I don't really think they were all that thrilled with us. And I don't know if it was out of guilt or out, I don't know. My mom felt the need to fucking visit them all the time. And there were some good times, but there was a lot of times where it's like, this is uncomfortable. Even as a kid, I knew it was uncomfortable. But visiting Joan and Bill was never that. They lived in Indiana, and they lived in a nice neighborhood, and they didn't have any kids. But somehow they were very good with kids, and they had this dog named Bert that had the longest goddamn nose I've ever seen. Like, you've never seen. He was some sort of terrier, squat, low to the ground, and he had a nose that I swear to God would knock all the candlesticks off the table if he turned around too quickly. He was the best. And Bill was Joan's husband, and we were me and my brother were two, you know, male kids, and he would like show us how to play video games, and he was just a real nice, fun, happy dude, and really cool and really laid back. And I remember him being real comfortable in his own skin, which is something I never have been. And it was during a portion of my life where, you know, God bless the boss man, but I don't have a lot of positive male role models that I look back on in my youth. And I say, ah, there's somebody that was good to emulate. And I would have done well to emulate Bill more than I did. But it's strange. I remember when I had my dog Murray passed away, and he was a dog that I owned when I was broke and when I was single and when I was trying to make it in radio. And there were some lean fucking years, man, some really lean years. And so because of that, I had a really unique bond with Murdog, and I wasn't the best owner for him, but he was all that I was all he had, and vice versa. A lot of times he was all I had. And so I've told the story quite a bit, but whenever, you know, I was poor, so I didn't buy a lot of dog food. I would buy a giant fucking barrel of ground beef and two big jars of Prego spaghetti sauce and two 59-cent bins of pot pasta, and I would make a cauldron of spaghetti to eat for the week. And that wouldn't be just for me. That'd be for Murdog also, which probably wasn't the healthiest thing for him. But I was stupid and lazy and poor. So anyway, the point I'm trying to make is the circumstances under which Murray and I existed and lived were unique. And because of that, it was different. It was a different type of relationship than just, you know, the family dog. I see people whose dogs pass away on Facebook, and they're like, oh, we had 12 good years with Roscoe, and we're going to miss him, and put him down this morning. And oh yeah, here's to the good times. And I can't unwrap that. That is not the type of dog owner I am. The dogs are family, and it's a humongous decision to get one. And it's something that I don't know. I don't get that. And maybe it's because I never had the kids. You know, if you have the kids, the dog becomes secondary. I remember talking to Drab T-shirt about this because he felt the same way about, his dog that I did before he had the kids, and now he wants the dogs to all get shot into the sun, and your perspective changes, and I understand that, but it hasn't changed for me. Point being is that Bill was a very good man to my brother and I, and was a very positive male role model to us when we needed one. And at the time, I didn't know I needed one. At the time, I don't know. None of it ever seemed weird to me when my parents got divorced. It always just kind of seemed like what happened. I knew a lot of kids whose parents got divorced. I didn't really know much other way. It happened early on. So I didn't realize that that was something that was good for me and that was healthy for me at the time. And I do now. And one of the things that blows dead bare is twofold. One, death comes for us all. I try to respect it. I try not to do what everyone else in this country does now, and that's just mock the shit out of old people, and wisdom doesn't matter anymore, and we want 16-year-olds to vote and all this horse shit. It's like, nah, you know, people that have been on the planet, you kind of got to take the crotchiness with a grain of salt, but they know a little bit. So, you know, I'm not delusional as far as death goes, and I don't have a lot of regrets when it comes to people that have passed away, or hopefully that will pass away. But there's two big ones. One is that my wife's uncle Jack passed away, and when he did, we had plans to go to Five Guys. He had come over for Christmas, and always loved Jack. He was a great dude. I talked about him on the Pay Show, and he had had cancer for a very long time, but he'd found edibles or started to prescribe marijuana or something. So his appetite came back. So he actually puffed up a little bit. Like, he had a little belly and his face looked full, and he looked good. He looked good this past Christmas, less than a year ago. And he had never been to Five Guys. I don't fucking know how. And we made plans, he and I, to go to Five Guys. And something happened the day of, something innocuous, where I forgot that I'd made a commitment or that I needed to record a fucking podcast, some dumb shit now that in retrospect doesn't matter. And he said, don't worry about it, we'll do it some other time. Needless to say, we did not. And unfortunately, cancer did what it sometimes does, was decide it's going to stop fucking around. And he passed away very recently. And I went to his funeral, and I remember sitting there, and there's two things I was thinking. It's like, God damn it, I'm going to miss talking about football with him at Christmas. And then, God damn it, I wish we would have gone to Five Guys. And it's weird. It's like a little tiny little thing that has just kind of hung with me since then. I've told it to people and nobody really cares. And so, you know, it's my hang up. But with Bill, I knew that my mom had told me that he had been fighting something for quite some time. And I had the fucking thought. I remember, I think I may have even spoken it out loud. Say, I need to go see that guy. I need to go see him and his wife, because they were really good to me, and they're getting older and they're having some health problems. And me being the fat fucking turd, titted fucking love handle piece of shit, stretch mark asshole that I am, I didn't do it. And so now you can't do it. So that's kind of why it takes a lot for me to put my own comfort aside. And so I'm doing that this weekend. We're going to go to the funeral. I'm staying in an Airbnb with my mom and my brother, and there's only two bathrooms, and that's a terrible fucking idea. Toyed with getting the own hotel room, but I don't know if me and my brother and my mom will ever be on a trip ever again. I would put the odds on no. So I said, you know what? Just suck that up too. And it's, figure it out. Get up real early if you've got to blow up the toilet. This is my misery, and I think most of you can. I don't know why anyone would listen to this. There's no yucks to be found. But my misery is people hearing the horribleness, the guttural fucking rumbling. It just, I don't know what it's like when you get up to take care of your necessaries in the morning, if I can invoke a 300-year-old term. But it's bad. Bad leeway Brown for your pal. And I think one of the reasons why I've been able to stay married this whole time is that every single place that we've ever been, including one bedroom apartments, we made sure there was two bathrooms, right? Like, there's a bathroom in the hallway, even if we only have 600 square feet, and then a bathroom in the master bathroom, so that I can put not only a door in between myself and my betrothed, but maybe a couple of doors or some appliances that provide some mechanical and electrical white noise, rather. We got to install microwave ovens, custom kitchen delivery. We got to move these refrigerators. We got to move these color TVs in between me and my wife when I'm shitting. Point being is that I come from the same stock that has a lot of the same issues I have. So now there's going to be three of us IBS motherfuckers in the same house and at funeral food. And I'm sure we're going to go. I don't know. I just can't imagine it's going to be a comfortable 48 hours, but we'll do what we got to do to make it happen. So that's one of the reasons why I don't know if this will be a full episode, but I was like, fuck it, punt it, man. Punt that shit. Who gives a shit? Nobody. The only time I ever hear shit about this show is if I don't do it. I don't ever fucking hear. If you are a skinflint miser, chiseling motherfucker that just listens to this show, it's cool if you let me know you like this show. It wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, because I can't tell you the fucking cognitive dissonance I have over whether or not it is even fucking worth it to do this, because 3.5 years into my egress from broadcasting, I don't think anyone is fucking listening to this and is going to decide, let me plunk down a couple of shekels for your pal. But it is what it is. Oh boy. What in the fuck? I wrote that down as a topic. Jesus Christ, do I need therapy? I'm not even going to read a top. I made a little crib sheet here of things that I potentially wanted to speak about, and one of them is so goddamn depressing that it would make the first fucking 10 minutes of this show look like Hot Tub Time Machine. Holy shit. I can tell you this. I fucking hate Mortal Kombat. I fucking hate it. And I'll tell you why. Is that if you don't play fighting games, there's no bullshitting in fighting games. You can't blame your team. You can't blame the game. You can't blame the controller. You can't blame, I guess you could blame lag. I blame lag still from time to time. But it's mano a mano, Jack. I don't want to compare it to Ultimate Fighting or boxing because it's a video game for fat losers. But in a way, it's similar in that if you play a team sport, there's all kinds of things you can blame. You can blame the referees, right? You can blame the conditions of the floor. You can blame the other team for playing dirty. Oh, somebody's gambling and they got money on this game and the ref's not making the calls, or I'm not getting the calls, or blah, blah, blah. Or your teammates. They won't get me the ball. They won't give me an opportunity. They don't see what I... You can't do that in the UFC, really. I mean, you can blame the judges, but you got to get to the judges. I guess you could blame the ref for an early stoppage or a, 12-6 elbow, like when fucking John Bones Jones got disqualified for doing that to Matt Hamill. Was he deaf or blind? He was deaf, right? He couldn't be blind and fight in the octagon. That'd be wild. So, like, fighting games are, if you're going to compare them to a sport, they're like the UFC, ironically, fighting, because it's just one-on-one. It's one-on-one in your ability. Imagine if you're playing the guitar and you're battling every time you played the guitar. Is like that's kind of what a fighting game is like. And it takes an enormous amount of time to even just get serviceable. I was about a 500 Mortal Kombat 11 player, and I'd say I'm slightly below a 500 MK1 player. Although I would fuck your ass up. If any of you motherfuckers want to play, I will beat you. I will beat you. Because here's what I've learned. No one in my listening audience plays Mortal Kombat. No one. I've brought it up 100 times. The only thing you bro dogs fucking play is Madden, and you play, I guess, that college football game now, even though miss me with that. Same game. No idea why you'd want both. No idea why so many people bought that fucking thing. I mean, it's been gone for 10 years. I don't know how much nostalgia you could have for it. And Call of Duty. When you host, if you're known for sports talk radio, what you have to understand is that the only three games, and FIFA, I guess you could throw FIFA on that now too, because people like to pretend that soccer's good. That's it. Same thing trying to talk movies with sports fans. Bo Schembechler pointed it out many years ago. There's only about 5 or 6 movies that sports fans like. Forrest Gump, that's a big one. Shawshank Redemption is the one seat. I know a lot of you are out there nodding your heads. Shawshank Redemption, for some reason. Scarface sometimes makes that list. What else? The Hangover. Hangover's a big one. I'd throw Step Brothers in there. Those are the only probably 5 movies that every sports fan deals with. So when I talk Mortal Kombat, I'm speaking to myself, because people have a rudimentary knowledge of, you know, probably the first one or two, but they don't know what is transpiring now. But the concept is, I'm going to explain it to you, because I was just playing a little bit before I got to go pack. I'm going to go pack as soon as I'm done with whatever the fuck this is. One of the reasons why I was drawn to Mortal Kombat is the violence and the blood, because why wouldn't you be? And one of the things that, you know, brings the casuals in, the boys to the yard, as Kalis would say, or Kellis. It's Kalis or Kellis. I have no idea. Is the fatalities, right? You beat your opponent, you are granted a finisher, and then you are able to put in a series of inputs into your controller, and then you decapitate and disembowel your opponent in a flurry of fucking gore. The problem is that when you play Mortal Kombat online, they got this thing called Combat League, which is ranked, and you can unlock various skins and pieces of artwork and costume pieces. It's fucking stupid and nerdy, but it triggers your endorphins, and so it keeps you playing, and then now you're competing one-on-one against people. Well, you got to win 2 out of 3, right? You follow me? You got to win 2 out of 3. So what will happen is somebody that is roughly your skill level, maybe just a little bit better, will beat you in the first round in a fairly unspectacular fashion. And instead of just knocking your character down and getting to what would be the game set match portion of the Combat League set, they perform a fatality. So I have to fucking sit there and wait for their dumb fatality, which I've seen 10 million times. And it's simply done out of spite and meanness and people that are just poor sports, because you're online and it's a fighting game, and sportsmanship is something that is looked at as antiquated now. I'm not saying sportsmanship in video games. I'm saying in general, people look, oh, let's dance in the sidelines. Let's dance in the fucking end zone after we fucking make a sack. Let's preen and strut our cocks around for 10 seconds. I just hate it. I hate it. One of the reasons why we teach kids sports is to learn sportsmanship and discipline. And then if you say shit like that, that you're called a boomer, and that you don't appreciate the celly and the fit, and the just turn sports into the voice. Turn sports into the red carpet of the Golden Globes. It's what you dumb motherfuckers want to do. So just do it. Put more pillows on top of football players' heads as they're playing. You know what you want to do. Ugh. It's so fucking nuts. It's so fucking nuts. It's not that the civilization that we live in has decided that women decide that need more entertainment, or more effeminate men need more entertainment, or nerds or soft dudes or whatever. It's that they decided make as much of that shit for people as you want. That isn't good enough. It is, they must take the shit the rest of us like, I'm just going to say the word, normal guys like, and they must bend it and change its character fundamentally, like Play-Doh. We can't create our own thing. We've got to take Marvel and turn it into a female brand. We can't create our own thing. We've got to take Star Wars and turn it into a female brand. We've got to put pillows on top of all the football players' heads and get rid of the kickoff and call roughing every 3 seconds, and then, you know, have 13 Twitter accounts analyzing what the players are wearing in and out of the locker room. It's just fuck me. Fuck me. If you want to get really morose and really macabre, I look at that shit where people are talking about Patrick Mahomes' fit, and I'm like, you know what? I probably only have 20 years in me. It's probably only 20 to 25 years, and then what's going to be? And then, you know, with a guy that drinks and eats as much as I do, it's like probably less, most likely less. So don't even worry about it. It'll all solve itself in the end. Anyway. I got to sit there and I've got to watch some guy that's barely better than me hit a fatal blow. That takes another 20 seconds. Then he's got to do a fatality. That takes another 30 seconds. Then it's like, what's accomplished here, bro? The only person that's seeing you do this is me. I know you're not a streamer. So what? I have to sit here for another. So do you. You have to sit here for another 30 seconds too, instead of us being able to play more of the video game that we're here for. After we get connected, after we see what our ping is, after you've switched cameos, it's like, fuck me. Don't you have anywhere to be? It's like driving behind somebody that's going 35 miles an hour in the goddamn left-hand lane. It's like, value your own time more than this. It's got nothing to do with the way you feel about yours truly. Wouldn't you rather be playing more video games if you're out on the fucking road and you're in the left-hand lane going 35 miles an hour and at 60 miles an hour? Wouldn't you like to get where you're going? Maybe you wouldn't. Maybe these are the same people that just seem to be hanging out in the parking lots in every strip mall in Northern Virginia with their cars running, looking at their phones. Go in. Go into the liquor store. Go into the vape shop. Go into the Harris Teeter. What are you doing just sitting in your fucking car with the engine running, looking at your phone? Go do your thing. You would think that in 2024, people would realize that hanging out at the DMV ain't a lot of fun, but there are people that don't. That's going to King's Dominion and riding the Shockwave and the Anaconda and the Avalanche bobsled all in one, Jack. Yeah, so Mortal Kombat can suck a giant bag of them as far as I'm concerned right now. The only thing that is... There's two things that might rival it as far as, irritating popular cultural phenomenons. The big one being, we talked about this on the Fortress Film Society, is Joker foil adieu. Is that I think maybe The Dark Knight is the headwaters of this, where we have to take a superhero movie, a comic book movie, and turn it into what? I don't know. At least Dark Knight and Batman Begins and Dark Knight Rises, they're basically crime films, right? There are a lot of people compare them to Heat, specifically the second one. And there just happens to be these iconic characters inside of them. Fucking Todd Phillips is sitting here just stroking himself up into a frothy fervor and fomenting this horseshit. The latest headline is Joker foil adieu isn't a musical, according to director Todd Phillips. Quote, I just don't want people to think it's like In the Heights. Not that I know what In the Heights is, but maybe the reason why people think it's a musical is you said it was a musical. And that you cast a singer as Harley Quinn that sings in all of her movies, that I think was in a movie where she sang a bunch of songs that was nominated for a bunch of awards. I got news for you, Todd Phillips. If there's one motherfucking song, if there's one motherfucking musical number, it's a musical. And look, I'm sympathetic. In a way that a lot of other people, most likely in your audience, are not. I don't hate musicals. There's musicals I enjoy. Blues Brothers happens to be a big one. Love the Blues Brothers. Get my cheese whiz, boy. So many car crashes. Imagine being my parents and little Schuster is your son, right? All he cares about is Super Soakers and Silver Hawks and the Washington Redskins and Christmas lights and all the shit that I used to like as a kid. Imagine being my fucking parents, who had absolutely no qualms about screaming in front of me, yelling in front of me, cursing, calling each other the worst names possible, shitting on each other behind their back after they get divorced. My dad went as far as to actually keep a copy of my mom's car keys and move the car around in the neighborhood so she couldn't find it in the morning. I mean, truly just awful shit. But I wasn't allowed to watch Blues Brothers because they said the F word. I don't even know where they say the F word in that movie. I think they call the nun a fucking penguin at one point. All those car crashes, all those races, Princess Leia with a rocket launcher, Lil Schuster, that's too much for you. I can understand not wanting me to watch Poltergeist. I think I could have benefited from watching Poltergeist at an earlier age. It would have butched me the fuck up. Maybe I wouldn't have lettered in theater. Maybe I would have potentially gone out for the wrestling team if I was watching Blues Brothers and Poltergeist when I was 10, 15 years old. I always tell people to get over their shit. You know, you're sitting here, I'm 45-year-old man. I'm still complaining about this bullshit. It's pathetic. But what I can't get away from is that I wasn't allowed to wear Brew Through t-shirts when I get there. I wasn't allowed to wear Brew Through t-shirts to Lake Braddock Secondary School because they said brew on them. And here was the damnable misery of it all, friendos, is that I thought Brew Through just meant, all right, let's brew on through. Like that you were just going through a drive-thru that just happened to serve beverages. I'd never bought a beer from a brew-thru when I was 16. There was no way I could pull that off. I just liked the Outer Banks. So I got a brew-thru shirt, was told I wasn't allowed to wear it to school. And the joke's on you now, Mom. I own 12 AR-15s. You know how many 10mm pistols I own now? You should have let me watch the Blues Brothers. I wouldn't go to every single nation's gun show out of the Chantilly Expo Center. Stop off at the Chick-fil-A that closed down next to the Chick-fil-A. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? Is that the words Hooters known to mankind? What were we talking about? The Blues Brothers? Oh, musicals. Todd Phillips wants us to believe that the Joker musical. Yeah, well, I'd be worried too, you motherfucker. I'd be worried too. Who's your audience? Who's your audience? Now, maybe your argument is a bunch of people bought tickets to watch Ryan Reynolds dance the NSYNC Bye 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 dance in Wolverine. There's a lot more going on than that. There's a lot more working for that movie than for your movie. Maybe you're looking at that Marvel's fucking sequel where I believe there was a big musical number. I don't know too many people are going to compare that shitty Joker movie to that shitty Marvel's movie, but I don't know. Maybe the headline of that you're opening up with some crazy fucking Looney Tunes knockoff is not resonating the way you thought it was going to. Maybe you're getting a little too weird and it's making you nervous because the first Joker made $1 billion. And maybe this one won't because the first one don't age real well, in my opinion. God, I remember walking out of that movie theater and just thinking, well, this world's moving on without me. And maybe that's good. There's plenty of really good mid to late 90s movies that are just constantly on TV when I want to be entertained. Case in point, The Crow, 1994, with Brandon Lee, huh? Ernie Hudson. Fantastic is that. Imagine watching that movie and then deciding, let's put this naked 15-year-old kid painted up. If anyone is watching the original Crow and they watch the trailer for the one that's coming out in 2024, there isn't one person, regardless of age, that would say the one that's coming out now looks better. No one. It ain't an ageist thing. It ain't a nostalgia thing. It's an editing thing. It's a casting thing. It's a soundtrack thing. It's a makeup thing. Get Bill Skarsgård into Playgirl. That's what you want. And I'll say this, that Brandon Lee's a handsome man, and he spent some of that movie bare-chested. Don't pretend like it's the same thing. You've seen the same trailer that I have. Every goddamn movie headline that I look at is about, I mean, it's about the Batman too. It's about the Happy Gilmore reboot. It's about the Beetlejuice sequel. I don't know. Original ideas being squashed in favor of what is comfortable, what is known. I don't know how I feel about it. Honestly, the older I get, the more I can sympathize with the soulless fucking assholes in the suits that just want to see their fucking shares go up. You know, what are we going to do? We've got none of these people that it's our audience can agree on anything. They literally can't agree on anything. They love electric cars, but the guy that builds all the electric cars, they think he's a Nazi. What? How? I don't know, but that's where we're at. They all want everyone to drive electric cars. Okay, well, can the power grid support the electric cars? No. Where is the electricity coming from? Well, it's coming from a giant power grid that runs on dinosaur juice. Well, how is that better? I don't know. The batteries take a billion years to... You can't agree on food. Everything's a political statement at this point. And if you're a movie studio, you're in charge of entertaining these assholes. So I guess... unless you just can't turn down that BlackRock money, it's got to be a very difficult decision to make. Who do we want to piss off today? And maybe the best way to piss off the fewest amount of people is just shovel something familiar in front of them. It's like a mom with picky kids. You know, why am I going to sit here and bother to make duck l'orange if I can just give you the dinosaur chicken nuggets? And let me say this. I don't know what has happened as of late where grown ass men are just screaming online about how much they love dinosaur chicken nuggets. That is the food of the waterhead. That's the food of the, we just want our kids to shut up. We are no longer their parents. We just let them run roughshod. So we'll give them whatever they want. So they're eating dinosaur chicken nuggets until they're 14. Lot of symbolism in dinosaur chicken nuggets. And I don't know why the explosion in popularity, I guess people all seem to think that if they remember them, they're the first ones to remember them. And so it must be screamed from the highest Facebook profile possible. Ooh. This hypervigilance shit is not for the faint of heart. I fucking notice everything. And unfortunately, most of it is very, very irritating. Case in point. I invite all of you to go over to your X account. Yes, I call it X now. And I invite you to follow both types sports. I don't care if you follow at Chad Dukes or something, but porn bots, same 30 people. I love them dearly. They like my shit. Nobody else does. It's deader than Dillinger. So if you could like at both types sports, which is the football show, I would be in your debt. But while you're there, do me a solid. Pull up either my Twitter or DC Film News and take a look at the new DC's Absolute Trinity logos that they've put out for, I don't know, I guess Jerry Jones is running DC Comics now because their slogan is all in. Don't know what that means. Honestly, I don't know. I assume these are for the films, but it looks like they're for comic books. I want you to look at Batman's logo right now. You can turn this off and go look. There's nothing all that noteworthy being said here. Go look at Batman's logo. I'm looking at it right now, which appears to be just a completely opaque triangle with 6 little isosceles triangles pinpricking out the side. It is fucking odious. Now, there's a Wonder Woman and a Superman logo too, but I don't give a shit because it's Wonder Woman and Superman. And who gives a shit about Wonder Woman and Superman? Batman is what we care about. Batman is the tip of the motherfucking spear. You get truth serum into every superhero fan on Earth, Batman's the one seed, and then, I don't know, 30 acres of gamma irradiated Hulk shit, and then you get to Spider-Man, and then you guys can fucking scream about where the rest of them go after that. But that's pretty much the way that it goes. Kids like Spider-Man, adults like Batman. That's the way it goes. The only reason I can think of that they would actually make a Batman logo like this is to antagonize the shit out of their loyal fans, and then to also get the trolls active in the comment section saying how cool they think it is or how much they like it. And it's just to stir people up and to poke the beehive. We wonder all day long about fake news. Like, can I trust CNN? Can I trust Fox News? Can I trust all of these outlets? Where can I actually get honest coverage of X, Y, and Z? I look at it even a step further. I wonder how much of this shit that is shared under the guise of entertainment, because if you're looking at the big issues, you know, people are mad about taxes and immigration and abortion and stuff like that. Those are real things that happen in the world. They can impact your life directly. The way that a fucking movie is marketed, or the characters that are swapped, this is all inconsequential shit. This is diversion. But I think that they want to gin you up in the same ways that the quote unquote fake news outlets do, because at the end of the day, there's a lot of money to be garnered from that. Now, I don't understand when it's, we also want to sell action figures. We also want you to watch our streaming show on Apple TV. We also want you to go pay $15 to see a movie in a theater in 2024 when everybody can just sit and watch movies a week later in their house, eat their own food, drink their own beer. The only reason I could think of that they did this is to fuck with us, but they're going to want us to purchase the product. And I guess the best way to invoke a reaction now is to diddle with something beloved. Stir up the beehive and hope that the best comes out of it. My God, is this, I'm looking at it and hoping somebody, I don't usually like to ask for people to get fired, but if somebody could Bobcat Golfway from Scrooge, whoever came up with this Batman logo, it would make me incredibly happy. Oh, look, trending topic. Since I was here, since I checked my Twitter account, new Batman logo sparks outrage. No, I will not explore that, Elon. Thank you. I appreciate the Cybertruck. I appreciate all of the self-landing rockets. What else? Starlink. I don't use it, but it seems like it's important. A lot of people talk about it. Appreciate all that stuff. But no, I don't need to explore your trending topics. Alaska man survives bear attack, shoots himself. I did watch that video. The guy that killed a bear, and as he was shooting at it, shot himself in the fucking leg. And then as he's actually recording the video, he doesn't know if his dad shot him or he shot himself or the bear may have bit him, I think. By the time I fucking you hear this, I'm guessing all of you guys will have heard this video by now. Maybe I can pull it up here. Technology, brother. It is the absolute best. Yeah, I think I may have it right here. All right, give me 2 seconds. Give me 2 shakes of a lamb's tail. We'll see if we can play it for you.
Okay. Well, as you can see, we have a brown bear here. We were hiking through some pretty thick grass here. We startled her, or him, I'm not sure.
Big ass bear. For those of you not watching the video or haven't seen the video, this is from Colin Ruggs' account. I'd have to assume he is a conservative with the people that follow him, so don't be offended. I'm not making a political statement. That's just where I saw the video first trending. So there's a guy taking a phone video in the middle of a big field. There is a big ass bear dead to his right. And that is all we know right now.
Sure. And it came charging at my dad. He made some noise.
Went to you.
And then it went straight to me. And thankfully, when I was falling backwards, I was able to unsheath my pistol. And when he was on top of me, absolutely unload like a on top of this guy.
Why would they bleep out this man saying motherfucker? If there is any time that it is socially acceptable to drop the term motherfucker, it's either whenever Samuel L. Jackson is being directed by Quentin Tarantino, or it's when you're unloading your 10 millimeter pistol into an attacking brown bear that is trying to rip out your jugular. Who is that for? You should be able to take this tape into mass on Saturday night and play it from the pulpit because this poor bastard was attacked by a bear. Now, I don't see any rifles. I don't think that they were necessarily hunting. I can't be certain. But it's two guys walking in a field, both armed to the teeth. And I guess, thank God they were, because they were able to kill this fucking bear before it killed them.
Well, to unsheath my pistol. And when he was on top of me, absolutely unload like a on top of this guy. So did my father. I'm not sure. I did shoot myself in the leg when I was falling backwards.
I did shoot myself in the leg as I was falling backwards. Has that sentence ever been uttered with such casual malaise? It's almost like someone said, hey, look, I know we ordered ranch with these hot wings. See if they'll give us a cup of blue cheese also. Oh, and maybe a couple of extra celery stalks because my mouth really gets hot when we eat these wings. I'd like to cool down a little bit. Has anyone ever said I did manage to shoot myself in the leg as I was shooting the bear as casually as this motherfucker? I don't mind saying motherfucker, by the way.
So did my father. I'm not sure. I did shoot myself in the leg when I was falling backwards. Right here.
Camera down, hole in the leg. Doesn't look like a bullet hole from any movie I've ever seen, but it does look like there is an entrance wound and an exit wound. Don't see any blood. That's pretty lucky. Don't they got arteries in your shit? They got veins in your shit? Anybody ever seen Gunman? The movie Gunman? I believe it's with, who is that? Is that Christopher Lambert and Mario Van Peebles? Somebody check my work.
but it went straight through my leg. I'm not sure if, again, I shot myself when I was falling backwards or the bear got me. I know he did bite into me. I think I felt that, but I'm not 100% sure. We got an SOS out update.
Get the f*** out of here!
Papa Bear's here. Update, we got military helicopter.
So the update is there's a cut in the video. The dad is screaming, get the fuck out of here. There's another bear there. So they believe they killed the mother bear. The father bear shows up, so Dado is screaming. I have been told that screaming at bears is the best way to disrupt them. So I'm hoping that the Tennessee Titans defense implements that policy week one against DJ Moore and Rome Odunza, all those fucking great wide receivers on that team. I hope that takes place. Keenan Allen, isn't he a bear now too? Get the fuck out of here. I hope Jeffrey Simmons goes for that tactic because that seems to be the best way to disrupt the bear. So they're screaming at a bear and you can hear in the distance, there is a military helicopter landing.
Pop the bears here. Update, we got a military helicopter coming to pick us up. Some PJs.
RCC. Rescue Coordinating Center out of Anchorage.
So they're in Alaska. South Central Alaska, out of Anchorage. What do you think the tax bill is going to be on that? Holy shit. Tyler Johnson is the dude's name. His father is an Alaskan state trooper. And they both just lit that fucking bear up.
So they're coming. And I'll tell you what, I am so happy I had a 10 millimeter. And my dad also had a 40. When I pumped him, I felt him like die on top of me and roll over. That was insane. It's like Gimli and the wargs.
Gimli and the wargs. Get the fuck out of here. My dude is a Lord of the Rings truther. And what a great comparison. Who doesn't remember when Gimli is buried underneath a warg and Aragorn takes a spear, kills another warg. And then I believe there's also a goblin that climbs on top of the pile that Gimli snaps his neck. To have the wherewithal, bullet in your leg, bear bites your ankle, second bear arriving, military helicopter hovering overhead, to pull some A-list fucking, he even got the creature name right. He didn't drop elephant, shelob, none of that. What was the name of Shelob's mother? Is it Ungoliant? Look at Shoot dropping knowledge. Ungoliant. Look that bitch up.
Roll over. That was insane. It's like Gimli and the wargs. Oh my God. That hurts.
I bet it does hurt, dude. You know what else is going to get hurt? Your penis, from how much it gets sucked after you have a story like this. Seems to be a normal looking dude. Don't know if he's married. This tweet says that he was transported to Anchorage and didn't even need surgery. I don't know how that's possible. Can you imagine walking into a bar? Like, there's some dude that has a yo-yo or maybe knows a couple of magic tricks and he's trying to spark up some pussy. And then this fucking dude walks in wearing shorts so you can see the scar on his leg. I'm guessing if he's from Alaska, everybody already knows him. He's got the teeth mark scars on the other leg. Talking about his 10 millimeter, pumping that bear's guts full of lead. 1, 2, 10. Keep the change, you filthy animal. You imagine even offering to buy a woman a drink if this motherfucker is in the bar with you? You might as well take your hat and go home, sir. Call it a game. We'll try this again at a different date. Hopefully this dude will be on vacation with whatever skeezer he picks up in this bar. Hopefully he'll be sitting on a beach earning 20%. What a stud. Really. I mean, thank God he had a 10 millimeter and his dad had a 40. What if he found out? I'd like for them to pull the fucking caliber out of his leg to see which one of them shot him. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the Coen Brothers remake of True Grit, but there is a particular comedic scene where Matt Damon's character, LaBeouf, Mr. LaBeouf, they're shooting cornbread. I love that part. But no, Jeff Bridges, Rooster Cogburn, is shooting high from an elevated position. He actually ends up shooting his ally, LaBeouf, and then, of course, tries to pull his tongue out. My God. You think there's people that walk around fucking living this life without having seen the True Grit Coen Brothers edition? What keeps you motivated? What keeps you focused? I don't know. A couple more thoughts, then I'll wind this up. Thank you again for listening. I wasn't sure I was going to do an episode for Friday, but why the fuck not? What do I have to do that's so pressing? Nothing like pre-airport jitters. It's always great trying to go to sleep the night before, you know. It's not even the flying part. Like, I don't give a shit about flying. I give a shit about being late, missing a flight, getting stuck in security. All the shit that goes along with the Travis Sham mockery that is flying in Los Estados Unidos. That is the part that stresses me the fuck out. And that's why I can never go to sleep the night before I get on a plane. Maybe I'll pop a Zanny like right when I get into the Uber. And so by the time I actually get onto the plane, I should be nice and mellow. Maybe I'll catch a couple 40 winks or so. That might be dope. Couple of things. One is I put this on Facebook and it got a fairly positive response, and for good reason. If you've seen Deadpool and Wolverine, you know that one of the best parts, if not the best part, was the inclusion of Wesley Snipes as Blade. It's only one Blade. There's only ever going to be one Blade. Just fucking, and not just a cameo, not just key jangling, not just fan service. It was respect being paid to a superhero that was a superhero before any of these superheroes were superheroes. Blade was making $100 million in the movie theater while all these fucking other heroes were just itches in their daddy's vas deferens. My thought, how long would it take them to write an old man Blade movie? And then how long would it take them to shoot it? They were able to shoot Alien Romulus for roughly $80 million. You invest $80 million in old man Blade. It solves all your problems with this fucking absolute disaster of the Mahershala Ali Blade movie, which has just had director after director skip out on it. They're trying to make it about Blade's daughter and blah, blah, blah. No, no, no. You have old man Blade whipping ass. I bet you could write that movie, cast that movie, and shoot that movie in 2 years. I bet you could fucking announce that. Don't even tell us it's coming out. Drop it like it's hot. When is the last time Marvel did anything like that? I bet a movie about old man Blade would outgross the entire run of the Eternals in its opening weekend. It probably would outgross the Marvels on the Thursday, the weekend before it comes out. You know, when they have those screenings starting at like 6 o'clock and get in on Thursday so they can elongate the opening weekend to pad those stats. It would fucking rip shit. And here's what I'll say also. The only reason he looks like old man Blade is because they let a little gray loose in his hair and a little gray loose in his beard. You just ferment that shit up. It just looked like Blade. It just looked like Blade. And he moved like Blade. Why do I have to have that idea? Why isn't that an idea that other people could come up with instead of giving us Agatha? It was Agatha all along. And oh, by the way, let's rename this piece of shit fucking 8 times. And this should have come out 5 years ago. All right, now we're going to do Iron Heart, even though everything else is bomb for us on this awful fucking television application. Why do I have to come up with old man Blade? I don't care if Disney makes any more money. In fact, I'd rather they didn't. That's a free one. Just like double stuff combos. I have just pushed millions of dollars worth of free ideas out into the ether. Luckily, I'm irrelevant enough no one picks it up, but it would be nice to see. The Duck Donuts guy is a millionaire because of me. It's not a braggadocious thing to say. It's just a fact. What about my idea for 24 hours a day you run Jaws on Independence Day? Why in the shit hasn't the Animal Planet or the Learning Channel, whoever's not Discovery, I mean, Discovery could do it. They're not running Shark Week on July 4th, are they? Get the rights. I see Jaws on TV all the time. Why isn't TBS doing it? You're going to run It's a Christmas Life, Christmas Story all day long on Christmas? Jaws is even better. And much better suited for Independence Day. Free money, free money, free money. Last thing I wanted to share with you guys, and I think you probably will agree that one of the things that I still do have some value for people is when disrespectful and unsightly things happen to me whenever I'm going about my daily business. I was working at my shop, Commonwealth Dry Goods. Please go to CommonwealthDryGoods.com right now and order everything. Got our own peanuts. We got grill rubs. We got records. We got candy. Man, we got so much shit up there. It's awesome. Go order some stuff while I'm gone. I'm having a hectic couple of days. Thank you. I was working there on Thursday, yesterday, if you listen to this on Friday. And there's this creep that comes up once a month, I would say. And he is obsessed with WJFK. Well, I shouldn't call it WJFK. WJFK is dead, just like there's only two Aliens movies, just like there's only three Star Wars movies. 106.7 The Fan is what he is obsessed with. And so I guess by residual, he's still interested enough to come in and bug the shit out of me. This guy's weird as fuck. Extraordinarily on the spectrum, an adult on the spectrum. He brought in a copy of John Paul Flame's book and had me sign it. It looks like he'd been wearing it up his ass for several years. He's let it slip that junkies won't put his calls through anymore. He's a prize pig. So he comes in yesterday, and I'm in there, and I'm working, and I'm packaging up shit, and I'm stressed out because I'm flying out the next day, and I got to pack, and I got to do this episode, and I got to get drinking on the deck ready, which, by the way, I did a fucking drinking on the deck. That will be at 2 p.m. on Catastrophe Radio. Kenny doesn't listen to anything that I do, so he won't hear this plug, but you can check it out anyway. You don't give a gift because you want something in return, and I don't do that show for him because I want something in return, and I do it because I'm a fan of his, and I like the product, and I enjoy music. 2 p.m. CatastropheRadio.com. If you happen to miss it, it will be available for subscribers, as all episodes of Drinking on the Deck are on ChadDukeShow.com. So I have all that going on. This motherfucker comes in. Now, keep in mind, this motherfucker comes into my store because he knows that I'm in there a lot. And he comes in. He doesn't care at all what I have to say. He just wants me to hear what he has to say because he's autistic as fuck. God bless him. I don't fault anyone for whatever afflictions they're born with. But Jesus Christ, does it get annoying when you realize someone's not hearing anything you're saying? They're just waiting for your mouth to close so they can continue to tell you about them. So it's like narcissism on top of it. So he's fucking yapping, and he says to me, I was thinking about coming to that concert you're doing, but I won HFS festival tickets from the junkies, and that's the weekend before, so I'm not coming to your show. Let's peel this onion apart. I got handed a used diaper. Well, someone attempted to hand a used diaper to me while I was working in Commonwealth Dry Goods one time. Guy came in, didn't buy anything, said, "Will you throw this away?" He had a used diaper in his hand, and I said, "No, and please get out of the store with that." That was less of a giant pile of shit trying to be pawned off on me than what this fucking 55-year-old P1 weirdo dropped on me on Thursday. Let's unpack. First of all, it's not the HFS festival, you fucking moron. It's the HF festival. It always has been. It always will be. And you know a normie rube dickhead in your life if they call it the HFS festival. Why would it be called the HFS festival? HFS was the name of the station. It all became one word. Don't you get it? Also, the HF festival, or whatever it is this year, ain't the HF festival. They've reanimated a fucking corpse in an effort to try to sell $250 tickets in a stadium that no one will pay to see baseball in unless the Savannah Bananas are playing. Quote me. It's fucking embarrassing. The lineup's embarrassing. The prices are embarrassing. The HF Festival should leave the stake in its heart. This motherfucker, and I thought maybe he was trolling me. Like, I thought maybe he came in just to shit on me, which, okay, at least I understand what you're doing. Oh, no. He came in to butcher the name of the fucking event, to tell me that he was going to that because he won them off the junkies, off the station that his fucking, said that I was a hate monger, the Washington Post or whatever the fuck they did. And then fucking furthermore, that he wasn't coming to my concert, which, by the way, for those of you who don't know, the Halloween Hoot Nanny is going down September 28th at the Tally Ho Theater, Pie Tasters, Reverend Peyton's Big Damn Band, Sonny Ledford, three bands, one price. Proceeds go to Mission 22. It's a fucking charity show, you fucking asshole. I'm not even making a dollar off the tickets. 100% of the money made off the tickets. The venue's keeping, I think, 20%. The rest of it goes straight to the charity. I don't see one penny of that. It doesn't cross through my checking account. And you wanted to come in and make sure that I know you're not coming to my show so that you can go to the HFS Festival and see the Violent Femmes or whatever moldy oldies they've got dusted off for that shit. Way to go, guys. Way to go. When people think the HF Festival, they certainly think that lineup that you have. How do you not book Cypress Hill? Green Day? Red Hot Chili Peppers? Doesn't Dave Grohl? Isn't he from here? Doesn't he do shows in DC all the time? Yikes. Boy, that guy got me. He got me. I was not ready for that. Usually when people come in and they're assholes, I'm ready. I'm wired. I'm amped. I'm prepared for it, Jack. Not that dude. He got me square in the balls and it's still stinging. Anyway, boy. Well, this probably wasn't the most joculous fucking episode you've ever heard, but I did do one, and I did do one under the auspices that I wasn't going to. So you take what you can get, you silly geese. If you want funnier stuff, ChadDukeShow.com. You can subscribe. If you want my football show, that's free. FRWE. That's actually costing me money. That's always fun. That's always fun. When you do a project, well, if it doesn't make you happy, it doesn't make you money, then don't do it. It makes me happy to talk football. So I like the show. I think it's going well. I think it's pretty good. I think I'm all right at it. Tor does a good job. Sean Salisbury every Thursday. We had Jake Gruden on. Who else? We had Santana Moss on. Had a whole bunch of great guests on. We had fucking Warren Sharp on. Just killed it this past week. Check out that episode. It's both types of sports. Free. Just like this, free. You don't got to pay for shit of mine if you don't want to. You want to drag me through the muck and into death and fucking into the great unknown across the river Styx, put the coins on my fucking eyes for the boatman? Do it. Do it, Jack and Coke. Do it. I'm fine. All right, safe travels to the Shootster. RIP, Bill. Gonna miss you, buddy. Really wish I'd have gotten a chance to get up there and see you. And I'm going to go say goodbye, but that sucks, man. I'm not going to say anything pedantic like kiss your loved ones, hold your loved ones close, because everybody says that when somebody dies. But if you did make plans to go to Five Guys with somebody, or you know wanted to talk about Darkwing Duck one more time with him, follow through. Pick up the phone. Book the fucking plane tickets. That's sage-like advice from your pal, the Shootster. Thank you to, I don't know if Jimmy or Tor is going to put this up, so thank you to both. Love those boys very much. I kiss them on their face and their mouth, and I hope they live to be 100 and die in a big plate full of spaghetti and meatballs right in front of them. Can't think of a better way to go, like that lucky guy from the movie 7. If the good Lord is willing and the creeks don't rise, you guys have a beautiful weekend, and tune in to Drink It on the Deck 2 o'clock on Saturday. Catastrophe Radio. Roll out the trash cans.
You know what I always say? Time to the defense of you. Ta-da to fucking you. When I get my wallet fat, when my pockets go jingle, I'm gonna buy you all the finest things.
Thursday, August 1st, the Chad Dukes Show will be hosting our Hall of Fame game watch party at Monk's Barbecue. The party is free to attend and will feature an in-person Money Monk at his own restaurant, plus a burger eating contest, drink specials, the debut of the Pigskin Burger featuring no white goop, a brand new Chad Dukes Show tea will be available at the event, and this will be the first ever candle exclusive episode. So save the date, August 1st at Monk's Barbecue for the Hall of Fame game watch party.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.